And I feel that it is very, very important. Now, let me just take you to Galatians chapter 2. So we can see what is one of the outcomes or one of the scriptures that give us the outcome of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen very carefully today, because what I say, a lot of what I'm going to say is what Joshua said to us, and I want to mix it with some of what I want to say, but we want to see what God is doing in our lives. Now, verse 20 in Galatians chapter 2 is an outcome of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as is John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come to give you abundant life. And so we look at this verse of scripture. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives in who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Now, this is one of the outcomes of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an outcome of living here on earth in the flesh. We want to see what God wants to do for us. Now, Joshua, as a young believer toward the end of last year, as all believers do, we have our ups and downs. We go through the valleys, we hit the hilltops, and we have our magnificent times. We have our dreadful times as well. We must remember that. And the enemy's job is to bring us to the point in our lives where he breaks us down, where he destroys us, where he takes us to the point where we lose our faith in Almighty God. So Joshua, in the closing parts of last year, got a little bit discouraged, never lost his faith, never lost his relationship with God, but just went through one of those dips. And as he was going through that experience, he decided that he was going to get with other Christians approximately his age and feel what they were feeling. He met up with a young person, and they in turn met up with the young people's life group. There were matrix in that group, gap year students, or young people, varsity students, graduates, and others, and they got together. And they were all of similar age. They were there waiting on the Lord. But you know, he soon found out that what he was going through, the experience of almost the aloneness, now and again sensing the presence of God, the other young people were going through that as well. And so it began to be that he found himself right where he was. But there was a purpose in it. Because through that whole thing, the young people began to pray. Now, folk, I want to say this to you today, that nothing is going to be achieved. Nothing will be accomplished unless we pray, unless we seek the face of God. Absolutely nothing is going to happen. So this group of young people soon began to pray, and soon the presence of God was back with them. It's as if the Lord switched on a switch, turned on the fire on those young people, and they found a most amazing fellowship. Now, they have all become friends. They fellowship together, and the Lord gave to them fire in their soul. Listen to me. I want to say to you, Christianity or any religion is going to be boring unless the fire of God burns in your heart. And the difference between Christianity and a religion is it's a relationship. And it's a fire that burns within our souls. Now, what happened with them is that they mainly took this excitement, this experience, with them back to their churches. Now, what happened to those young people as they fellowship? Because they continued to fellowship. So what happened to them is that they found themselves speaking about a few things. One of the things that brought them together was a question. The question was emanating out of a lifestyle that they were experiencing. The question is, what is a Christian? And I'll come back to that in just a little while, but I want you to remember the question is, what is a Christian? And then one of these young people went so far in his search for what is a Christian that he decided that he was going to look at the life of Jesus. And he found something. He found out that Jesus was a little bit controversial. Jesus invaded the comfort zone of many, many people. Jesus was, in a sense, a contradiction. In some areas of the Bible, we find that he speaks about forgiveness. He speaks about love. He speaks about the kingdom of God coming. And then we find him with a cord, making a whip, driving people out of the temple. So that seemed to be controversial. It was a contradiction, as it were, but they carried on searching the Word of God. You see, Jesus made people feel uncomfortable. We need to feel uncomfortable. And they began to feel this impact of Jesus, this contradictory part of the life of Jesus. When I say contradiction, is Jesus got upset. Jesus rebuked people. Jesus loved people. Jesus spoke lovingly to people. So it was, in a sense, a contradiction. But it was for a purpose, to bring people into a relationship with God. And when I speak about a relationship with God, I want to say it is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus preached the message of love and acceptance to the people and of the people. Accept the people because God loved them. And then he became angry and drove out the money changers and turned the outside section of the temple totally upside down. Now, Josh mentioned that he'd come across a book by an author called Jefferson Becknell. And in this book, which is called Jesus Greater Than Religion, he says he found a challenge. And the challenge was, is what is happening in the church, or is what the church of Jesus Christ is it as perceived by the individuals? And do we perceive, do we understand what the church is and what Jesus is? So then they began to ask that question. What is a Christian? See, they weren't interested in finding the answers to a whole lot of questions. They wanted the basic. They wanted to come back to that experience of what is a Christian. And you know, the answer is rather strange, because there are so many answers to what a Christian is. One person said a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Another one said a Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Another one said a Christian is a believer in the Word of God and accepts Jesus Christ as predicted and prophesied in the Word of God. So we find that there are several answers describing what a Christian is, and then let me add, what a Christian is not. We've got to understand this. What a Christian is and what a Christian is not. There is something interesting in each one of these answers, because us as people believe and we accept that a Christian is what you perceive the Bible is saying a Christian is, or what the Bible interpretation is. That's a Christian. So everybody will have a different interpretation of what a Christian is. But I want to say without fear of contradiction, a Christian is a person who says, I have been crucified with Christ. I live. Nevertheless, it's not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. It's a person who has not only developed a relationship, but a lifestyle with the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua got into the subject that evening of what a Christian is by using the example of what the world, when he speaks about the world, he speaks about the non-practicing people who say that they are Christians or what they think Christianity is. And it is this, it's often the way the world looks at a Christian. And let's be honest, it's a lot different to our perception and many times different to our lifestyle. You ask a Christian, you ask many people, why don't they attend church? They don't attend church because of the Christians. Mahatma Gandhi one time said, if it wasn't for the Christians, I'd be a Christian. He'd be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it all depends on lifestyle. The world will see a Christian as a hypocrite. We've heard that, haven't we? It's a bunch of do-gooders. Just use those words. It's a bunch of do-gooders. It's a group of people, let's call them the can't-doers. That's where I changed it from Josh. Josh called them do-gooders. I call them can't-doers. I can't drink. I can't do a whole bunch of things. That's how the world sees Christians. A people who are can't-doers. But listen, you cannot do it when you're not in a relationship with God. You've got to be in a relationship with God to be able to be spontaneous to the Lord. Then you're free. When you're in a relationship with God, you are free. You see, they see all things, and this is something that he mentioned, and it struck a chord in my heart. He said this, the people outside there see the things that we are against. The things that we stand against. That's very concerning to me. Because we are not showing the correct image of Christ. The image that we should show. If a person outside only knows me or knows Josh for what we are rather than for who we are. We are failing miserable. Now, I just want to mention something very carefully here that you understand me. When I preach a message like this, or when anybody preaches a message like this, questioning their relationship with God, they are not throwing caution out. We are not set to change the Word of God. We are still there where and what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have fallen away, and behold, all things have become new. That is still a valid part of our relationship with God. So we don't throw out the good, the best, the magnificent of the Word of God that brings us into a relationship with God. We retain it. We develop it. We begin to strengthen it. And we begin to say, by the grace of God, I will live a lifestyle of victory and of power. Most people, or some people, know what the vision of this church is. And it hasn't changed in spite of what Josh said or what I said. What Josh said and what I said is, we are seeking a deeper relationship with God. We are seeking a lifestyle that will bring us into victory and keep us in the victory and in the joy of the Son of the living God. So the vision is still to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and to make His love known. That is still what it is all about. The early Christians in the day of Jesus were confronted with the statement made by the Son of God. He said this, John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also should love one another. It is saying, they that were known by their love know the Son of God. Those that were known by their love. You see, it wasn't that they were known by what they were against. Hated the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religionists, or whatever it was. They were known by what they held to. And that was that they would love one another, including the unlovable. I think there's one or two people that can be named by us as unlovable. We don't kind of feel that we're in that particular frame yet. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Folk, we have got to move our lives into that area of loving one another. Sometimes Christianity is viewed by a worldview that says somewhere the Christians have just got to fit in. More like the moral standard. You know, that's basically what we are. We need to follow that moral standard. We should be a moral and spiritual conscience of our society. We should be the spiritual barometer of our society. Because Jesus Christ is real to us. He's come into our hearts. He's in our lives. I remember Josh mentioning in that message, when we go to school, most of the kids are Christians. So we ask, what are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family. I went to a Christian church. I have Christian friends that call themselves Christian. Well, that's great. Is that really making ourselves a Christian? There must be more to Christianity than that. And then he made a statement. He said this, if you're born in a garage, does that make you a motor cop? No. We've got to be a Christian. You see, we must have our relationship with God. It's got to be dynamic. It's got to be a relationship. And it's got to be a lifestyle in our experience with God. This is why. This is why we become discouraged. This is why we become downhearted and disheartened. This is why we read other books, go to other churches, because we are trying to find that vital relationship and lifestyle with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Pharisees were exactly the same? They went to the synagogue, they studied the scriptures, they performed their sacrifices, they made these laws that were impossible to follow. They were religious people, and they were putting a weight on people's lives that could not be carried at all. So I want to take a quote out of that book that Josh was reading by Jefferson. He said it helped him change his view And it's this book that is called Jesus is Greater Than Religion. Jefferson went to Christian schools. And at these Christian schools, he got into the groove. You know what the difference between a groove and a grave is? Anybody know? The depth. We can get ourselves into a groove so easily where it becomes so casual. We are so casual with the things of God, not serious. We need to develop that lifestyle with Jesus where we can say, He has changed me. So Jefferson spoke about this Christianity that he had, and according to what Josh shared in the book, it wasn't a very victorious Christianity. It was a Christianity that he kind of made up for himself, did what he wanted. It was a do as you please type of Christianity. And that's what it has become to so many Christians. Folk, we need to change it. Oh, we need to change it desperately. How we need to change our relationship. Deepen our relationship with God and understand that that is the relationship He wants with us. This man went on to say that he decided to go to a secular college and study there, and there he began to try to practice his Christianity. And he found out a few things. Josh mentioned them. He says that the reason we are not satisfied with our version of Christianity is because it isn't Christianity. That's shocking. It isn't Christianity. It is, in fact, religion. We have religion, but we don't have Jesus. We have a good role model, but we don't have God. We have theological debates, but we don't have the living word of the living God. We have good works, but we don't have the source of the good works in our life. We have love, but we don't have the God that is love. And for me, this serves as a warning. It says to me, hang in there. Hang in there for a second. The Christianity that we need to profess, to follow, it can be lived. It can be experienced. It can be given by the power and the glory of God. The Jesus that I say I love, I can actually know Him. I can actually know Him. Am I familiar with His ways? Am I doing what He said I should be doing? When we ask ourselves that question and begin to settle the answer, we can actually know Him in our hearts. Jefferson began to find that as he went to this Christian college, he was trying to bring Christianity to the people, and he would say to the people, speak to them a little bit about Jesus, and then invite them to church. The answer was always the same. They don't want to hear about it. You Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. You just have a bunch of rules that we have to follow. We can't do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be a part of it. So then he started a new approach. And the new approach was, he changed his life. He brought Jesus into the equation, the living God into the equation, and the approach began to be different because he began to speak about Jesus as a living person. He began to present them with a lifestyle that included Jesus Christ, and he found that they were much more receptive when they heard of what Jesus said. When they started hearing about what Jesus actually stood for, rather than what the people said, they began
to follow Jesus.
That is so important. It's not what we're against. It's what the Bible is for. It's for the salvation of souls, the forgiveness of sins, the creation of new people. Is the world seeing Jesus who we read about, the Jesus in our Bibles? Is the world seeing this Jesus in this thing that we call Christianity? Is he seeing Jesus in this thing that we call Christianity? I'm thinking again, if it's based in religion, we are no better than the Pharisees. Just putting down a whole bunch of rules for people. But if we go and have a look at Jesus, one of the things that Jefferson said, that Christianity is being painted as almost safe. Not a threat to our lifestyle, very comfortable. Now what he means by that is, well, the church isn't going to challenge you. You can do what you like. Live as you like. It's a comfortable church. It's a no-threat church. There's no difference, but there's very little change. That is why we have what we call the seeker-friendly churches. You've heard about the seeker-friendly churches? Oh, that's a safe church. Because there, you're not challenged. Your life isn't challenged. Sin in your life isn't challenged. A new lifestyle is not presented. You can just go along with the flow. But that's very far from what Christianity really is. Jesus called the religious leaders out. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He called them sons of Satan. Basically, what he said is that what you are doing and living is completely wrong. He wasn't afraid. He just tackled these religious people with their religion. And then he did some other things that wasn't very nice. Josh mentioned these things. He had lunch with people that we wouldn't have lunch with. We would choose who we're going to have lunch with. And he mentioned these prostitutes up here in Leopard Street and asked how many of us would think of going into McDonald's up there and having a hamburger with one of these prostitutes. Tough question. And then he spoke about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He was having lunch with Zacchaeus, and of course he was eating with prostitutes. Then Jesus went and did things that were contrary to that particular day. If you think about the woman at the well, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Jesus was on his way through Samaria. It was looked down upon by the Jewish people, and a Jewish man was not allowed to speak to a Samaritan woman. But Jesus didn't see that. He was spending time with a sinful woman. She had had five husbands and she was living with a sixth man. She may even have been a prostitute. Who knows? But Jesus was spending time with her. You see, Jesus looked beyond the condition. He saw the need. He looked beyond the condition. He saw the need. And he broke into that need. That particular day must have been amazing, because she went into the city and she said, come and see a man that has told me all things that I ever did. And you know the amazing amount of conversions. Read it in John chapter 4. Is the Jesus that we serve, is he the King? I was teasing Glenn this morning. He said, Glenn is second. I was teasing him about that, and then eventually he said to me, well, Jesus is first. So is Jesus the King? Is he the King who's going to come back and abolish sinfulness in this world? Is he the king who's coming for a spotless bride? Is he the king who came to purify us? Not to bring us into a state of life, but a lifestyle that is so very different. A lifestyle that is spontaneous in the Lord Jesus Christ. What he is saying is that the Christian walk is not an easy walk. And we found that, haven't we? In our very comfortable position, we found out it's not always that easy. Sometimes our emotions get rubbed up the wrong way. We get sick. A whole lot of things happen to us. We get discouraged. So the Christian life isn't always the easy one to take. I'm speaking about the Christian life here in South Africa. The time that we spend on earth is, in a sense, an easy journey, and yet sometimes it's not. When you come to Christ, your problems don't miraculously disappear. Don't make it about what we don't do when we are Christians, but what we have become. Not what we don't do. When I became a Christian, Josh, you might appreciate this very much. I used to like the rind of the pork. I loved it. And when I became a Christian, one of the first things they said to me is, you can't eat pork anymore. And a few things that I couldn't do. So there was a lot of couldn't do's in that particular aspect of the religion. But God had done such an amazing thing in my life. He changed my life to the extent where it wasn't what I did. It wasn't what I ate. It's who I was in Jesus Christ. And I want to say that as I bring this message to a close this morning. It's not anything else but what you are. Be sincere. Be honest. Serve the Lord with all of your heart and live for Him. He is the King that has allowed us to have a lifestyle spontaneous as believers and calling ourselves saved. I'm saved. I've been born again. The burden is gone. And Matthew 24:13 says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. If Josh gave it up when he was feeling down toward the end of the year, if he gave it up, but God has called us to endure to the end, we shall be saved. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. So it's not what we are. It's what we've become. We become believers. Let's live that. Let's experience it. Let's show it that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's stand together, please. Father, we thank you this morning. This message may have been just a little bit hard in some instances, but we know this, that by the power and by the glory of the living God, we have the victory. We can say, like Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live by faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus said he came to give us abundant life. And Lord, I pray that when these discouragements, when these downturns come in our lives, we will always remember, call on the name of Jesus. We will always remember what we are and not who we are. We are believers. We are Christians. We are living a lifestyle that Jesus Christ made us. I pray in Jesus' name that if there are any in this church here this morning, that by the power of God, Lord, this message will touch us. This message will speak to us. If the young people can see that there's something wrong with the Christianity that we have in our world, then we as adults need to be able to see that as well and get to the place of being spontaneous with God, living for God, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, the Son of the living God. And so I ask for victory. I ask for joy. I ask for the power of God. I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask for the unction of God in every one of our lives. And may this week that we are in be a continuation of what God has begun this year in our lives. May we move into a revival such as we have never seen. Remember that verse of scripture I sent out on the phone yesterday, when we said, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the year. And two verses down, and God came. He never hesitated. He came immediately in response to that prayer. And so come in response to this message, this prayer, this service today, and bring revival in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless.